Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Ask yourself, the way you go about your Christian walk, are you deliberately drawing near to Him? Because God is saying, when you draw near, I draw near. I have learned over the years that the whole of our Christian life, it is Christ living His life in us, not you living, because you can.
Pastor Neil, in this lesson, emphasizes the importance of having an intentional relationship with God. To truly know God for ourselves, we need to set a goal and actively seek Him. As James 4:8 reminds us, when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. It's a beautiful invitation to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, leaving behind any sinful ways or double-mindedness. But Pastor Neil doesn't stop there. He encourages us to go beyond simply seeking gains in our relationship with God. Instead, he urges us to be firmly rooted in Christ. This means embracing the written Word of God as our guide and allowing it to shape our thoughts and actions so that we can think and live like Christ in our daily lives. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's insightful lesson on being intentional about life and our relationship with God.
We want to continue with our study on being intentional, and today we're going to look at the fifth installment in the message, Be Intentional About Life, and I'll be focusing on relationships. A relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with other believers, and so on. I can't deal with all of them, so today we're going to look at our relationship with God. How can I be intentional in my relationship with God? I ask all of you young people to stay here, grab a Bible, grab a pen, grab something and write with it. If you have your phone, bring it out and take notes. I want you to understand that Satan is busy and we must be what? We must be intentional. And he is intentional on purpose, right? That's like an oxymoron. But I want you to know that he's dead serious and we must be serious. Ephesians chapter 5, are you there? It says, look carefully how then you live. Live purposefully. Live purposefully. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. The scripture says we ought to learn to live purposefully. We don't have to live vaguely. We must do things on purpose. I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them, you have to start now. Be intentional with your relationship with God. Intentional relationships require that each person who is in that relationship is active rather than passive. In other words, you will take action instead of waiting for something to happen. We're dealing with God, but let me make an illustration. In your marriage relationship, if you realize that the marriage is falling apart and you choose to be passive, it will fall apart. Do you agree? If you see that your children are going wayward and you don't do anything about it, they will go wayward. You have to be what? Active. You cannot be passive. Intentional relationships generally require two things, actually three things, and I'll add a fourth. Number one, it requires that you set a goal. You cannot have a relationship that looks good, looks better without a goal. You can't sleep, wake up, and the next morning you have a good relationship. Does it happen that way? Every relationship must have a specific target. Intentional relationships require that we set a goal. Everybody says set a goal. There has to be a specific target. You have to plan. How many of you start in your marriage lives wanting to be sad for the rest of your life? But do you end up being sad? You didn't plan for it, but you will be there because you are failing to be intentional about bringing peace into your home. Amen? I have made a decision. I want peace in my home. So any foreign object in my home, including human beings, who begins to destabilize the system, I will respectfully ask you to leave. Because I'm intentional about that relationship. I'm intentional about who and who I am friends with. Because if you come to my home and destroy the peace in my home, you will not be there. Now translate that into your spiritual walk. There is no way you will be on fire for God by osmosis. You have to be intentional. You're quiet about that one. So number one, if all intentional relationships require that we set a goal. Everybody say we set a goal. There has to be a specific target. Secondly, you must schedule specific times to connect and communicate. You must schedule it. It has to be part of your schedule. The way you wake up 7 a.m. and go to work, you must schedule anything that you want, any relationship that you wanted to grow. You have to schedule specific times to connect and to communicate. Thirdly, you must be willing to be vulnerable. You must be willing to be what? Vulnerable and honest. Vulnerable and honest. You want your spouse to trust you. You must trust them. Mm-hmm. Children want their parents to be honest with them. Be honest with us as well. And that's where we say, amen. Only the parents said amen. We want God to come through for us, then be willing to do what he's asking you to do. Don't mess around with what he does. Intentionality. The final point is simply this. Start now. Don't procrastinate. Start when? Now let's flow into this. Intentional relationships, I'm going to take them one by one. Intentional relationship with God, remember we are focusing on God now. We'll leave the other ones, I'll deal with that later. Intentional relationship with God requires that we set a specific goal. A specific what? Come on, talk to me. A specific? For example, that I want to know God. I don't want to be just an ordinary Christian. It took me years to realize that some of us who come into this place are not Christians. Pastor, why are you judging us? I'm your pastor, I know. Some of us sitting here, we are not believers. Because when there is an issue and we bring God's word into it, they will tell you, let's just be real. With who? Who makes a TV? Gives you a manual for the TV, and the manual does not have what it takes to troubleshoot the TV. Anybody want to tell me that? If God gave us his word, then his word, it is a manual. It has whatever it takes to troubleshoot our issues. And when the child of God begins to take God's word and put it on the side, something ain't right. I said something what? Ain't right. Intentional relationships require that we set a goal, a specific target. And can I suggest one to you? That I want to know God. Who do you want to know? Who? Turn with me to the book of James. Look at James chapter 4. Please, if we can all read from the New King James Version of the Bible. James chapter 4 verse 8. Please read with me, shall we? Go. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Please, read that again. This time, I want you to read it slowly. Okay? Think about what you're reading. Shall we? Go. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Pause right there. Are you deliberately drawing near to God? Are you? Because if you're going to build an intentional relationship with God, you must on purpose do things that make you draw near to God. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Ask them, are you deliberately drawing near to the Lord Jesus. Ask them again. Look for somebody else, not the same person, so they don't get mad with you. Are you deliberately drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you doing it on purpose? You see, ask yourself, the way you go about your Christian walk, are you deliberately drawing near to him? Because God is saying, when you draw near, I draw near. I have learned over the years that the whole of our Christian life, it is Christ living his life in us, not you living, because you can't. So the closer you get to him, then he can pour his life into you. You and I are like a glove. You all know that gloves can do a lot of things, but without a hand, a glove is useless. Do you agree? Some of us, the way we are living our lives, I don't think we are drawing near to God on purpose. We are actually running away from God. We only come when we have trouble. Let me challenge you with something. I was mentoring a pastor one time and he says, show me the greatest truth. I said, be a Christian before you are a pastor. Because when you go to heaven, God is not going to look at being a pastor. He's only interested in, are you born again? Because sometimes you can get caught up in the work and forget who you are. And over time, this brother says, I think now I am working on being a Christian. I'm not interested in the other one. Because the truth is, whenever you become a Christian first, when pastors are cutting corners, you will not cut corner. Because you were a Christian first before you were a pastor. You were a Christian first before you were an IT professional. You were a Christian first before you are a marketing associate. You were a Christian first before you were a business owner. You were a Christian first before you got married. So in your marriage, you were a Christian first. I've told you I will not preach the popular to you because I have an assignment. Are you deliberate, the way you pray, are you deliberately drawing near with that? The way you were going about stuff, are you deliberately drawing near to Christ? Does it constitute drawing near? Today you are with God, tomorrow you are not. This is not a condemnation, but I'm here to challenge you that you are better than that. Young people, let me tell you, God is on the move. There are things that are firing up. I saw a five-year-old speak in tongues, and that little kid was on fire. You are wondering how in the world would that happen, because you always think it's an adult thing. No, hell is not an adult thing. The same way, spiritual things are not adult things. It is for everyone. Who, God says, if you draw near, I will. I want you to turn to the person again. I think you've already done the two people close to you. They may not like you. Go look for somebody else. And ask them, are you deliberately drawing near to the Lord? I'm sure I didn't get you into trouble, did I? It's time to draw near to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's read the first four verses. And if you can do it in the Christian Standard Bible, CSB, that would be great. All right? So the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. Verse 2. So he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, hear me. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Can we all read verse 2 again? Start it, shall we? If you can read, shall we? Go. So he went out to meet Asa. Please pause.
I want you to know this is a prophetic word. Hear me, all you prophets of our day. The only thing you prophesy about is people's clothes and cars and things. Let me tell you, salvation is more than cars. We need cars because we need to go to places, but that cannot replace our spiritual walk. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Let's read it again. This is a prophetic word. Okay, let's go for the prophetic word. Go. So he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Asa, all Judah and Benjamin, hear me. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Verse 3, come on, let's go for it. For many years, Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without instruction. Verse 4, we're all going to read that. Go. But when they turned to the Lord God of Israel in their distress and sought him, he was found by him. Our children don't want the kind of Christianity we are talking about. Because they realize that we are, can I speak in tongues? We are nyachum. Can I interpret my tongues? We are hypocrite. We, including me, we are hypocrite. Did you get it? Me, you, we are hypocrites. Until we make a decision. See, these kids want, the generation today wants results. But I also want you to understand that sometimes you walk with a God who will not give you results. You want to see how long you will stick with him. Young people, change your mind. Everything is not about results. There is a process. And God is interested in the process. And he wants to grow you with the process. Everything is not about take it, take it, take it. Are you with me? If we tend to him, we will find him. If you choose not to find him, you will not find him. Can you put my question back up, please, again? Now look for somebody you haven't talked to and ask them, are you deliberately drawing near to the Lord? So we have established that on the first premise, if I want to establish an intentional relationship with God, I must have a specific what? Target. I must have a goal. Let's look at Paul's goal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to verse 10. I'll read from the Message Bible. He says, yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Wow. What are they? Educational achievement. What are they? That he is on top of the ladder. What are they? That he's a boss at work. What are they? That he's achieved so much. He's president of that society and the boss in this place and this and that and money and everything. He says, all those things, I put them on the side. He says, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Adonai, Master. First hand. He says, I don't want to know him second hand. I want to know him first hand. I don't want to know him because somebody told me. I want to know him because I have encountered him. I want to know him because I have drawn near to him. And because I keep drawing near to him, he has drawn near to me. And he has poured himself on the inside of me. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. I have dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ. Verse 9, he says, and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness. I did not want some what? Inferior of that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. That's God's righteousness. I gave all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, firsthand experience his resurrection power and be a partner in his sufferings. The bad word for today. Christians don't want to suffer. And go all the way with him. You see, so Paul says, I have a goal. The specific goal is that I will know him. The word know in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word yada. It means an intimate knowledge of someone that you can only have when the two of you are in the same bedroom for years. In the New Testament is the word epignosis. It means I have an experience. I have encountered you and something about you have rubbed up on me, so I am not ordinary. Paul says, I want to come to that place. This is Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote to tests of the New Testament. He says, my goal is that I will have an epignosis with Christ Jesus. So I will not be some ordinary Christian. I believe that God is looking for an army in this last days. People who are willing to rise up, not only to come to church and go home, but show up in the political arena, show up at your schools, show up at the place of work, and you are not afraid to hide the fact that you are a soldier of Christ. Amen. Many believers these days, they come to church just because of what God will do for them. What are you doing for him? What are you doing for him? Secondly, intentional relationship with God requires that you and I schedule a specific time for worship, for prayer, for reading and studying of the Word of God. Pastor, this is simple. Yes, we must go back to the basics. Did you guys hear me? When was the last time you actually have a Bible study? Yet you can spend countless hours on the tubes, whichever one, on the apps. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me. We will come to this scripture. If you don't become rooted in Christ, by the next 5 years, most of you will give up on your Christian faith because the world is going to get crazier and crazier. Many, many years ago, I used to tell people, don't put all your confidence in prophecy. Pastor, it's because you are not a prophet. You don't give prophecy, that's why. And I said, really? Some of us, we are not rooted in Christ. We are rooted in people's prophecy. I'm giving a prelude to the verse we are about to read. From the book of Colossians. You must be rooted in him. And today there are people who have influenced thousands and thousands and ten thousands of Christians. Now giving the mistakes they have made because they made people focus on prophecy. And some of you are still sitting here. Your whole life is prophecy. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, we know in. So whatever I'm teaching here is still in part. And be honest. How smart are you? Me and you, how smart are we? I think to an extent I'm dumb. Are you? I'm dumb because I want Christ to be here. I get sick and tired to see Christians walk out of their marriage like that. Fight for something. Let the other generation understand we fight for something. We don't walk out because it doesn't go our way. Did you see things go Peter's way? Somebody who came to follow Christ. The guy was fishing. Jesus shows up, puts your net over there. They caught fish. What do you think Peter was thinking? I just got a business partner. The guy knows how to make my business boom. He starts following Jesus, and Jesus says to him, eat my flesh, drink my blood, for this is who I've called you. And the Bible says everybody began to leave, and Jesus asked the disciples, will you also go? And he says, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Hear me, all generations of today. Stop presenting a gospel that is about cars and houses, because you will die and leave them here. Will God bless us? Yes. But should that become our focus? The answer is no. It was David who said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. My children will never beg for bread. Never. They will not beg for bread. And yours will not beg for bread. Young people, you will not beg for bread. I don't care how the economy looks. The God that we serve is a God who will fight for his own. Don't equate yourself with people. You are different. I said, you are what? Schedule specific times to worship. Worship doesn't just occur. Some of us, when we come to church and we are worshiping, you are standing there. No, you have to be intentional. Why are they bowing? Let me bow. Why are they crying? Okay, I won't fake my crying, but there is something that is getting them there. They're not stupid. They have set a target. They want to know Christ. So they are drawing near, and God is drawing near to them. Are you learning anything today? Colossians chapter 6. Colossians chapter 6. Because whenever we draw near to God in terms of worship, in terms of prayer, and in terms of studying of the word, there is a focus. Everybody say there is a focus. Okay, read with me New American Standard Bible, shall we? Go. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Can we do that again, please, shall we? Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Please notice the order of the words Paul uses. It is very, very intentional. Why do I say so? He says, having been. So he's talking about the past. Having been, and now. Do you see the difference? He says that, and let me make a statement, that you cannot grow in your Christian life until your spiritual roots are deep. He says, because you have been rooted, now build on that. He pictures the believer as a mighty tree. And he says that the tree must have roots, and the root must be deep. We are too concerned with the aesthetics, with the part of the tree that is up. No. I'm telling you, if all the branches and the rest of the tree looks good, and there are no roots, when the wind blows, when the storm hits, come on, talk to me. When the wind blows, when the storm hits, what happens? Young people, you are living in a world. Maybe we will be gone after so many other years. You will not live forever. The rest of you who are spiritual, after service, don't come and tell me, Pastor, don't say things like that. If you come, I'll rebuke you. There's going to come a time we will all go. This young generation must understand that it will be their turn. And if you are not rooted in him, in Christ, not in prophecy, not in churches, not in people, but in Christ in you, the hope of glory, not something else in you, but Christ on the inside. It was a songwriter that says, in Christ alone, my solid rock. We will soon have a service for you young people. We are planning it. You will come and have your own worship. You will sing the songs and you will cry out to God on your own. And you will preach too. You need to have an experience with Christ. Have a target. Set it. I want to know him.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.